Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm Kenny Bedwell, and I am here with the one, the only, Patrick Swinetech, and we're going to be talking about property management and is it actually worth it? So Patrick, come tell us who you are, what you do, your situation, and why you're even qualified to talk about property management.
Oh boy, that is a heavy thing, but thanks, Kenny. Yeah, so my name is Patrick. I'm actually the founder of SCR Nation, an online community of 4,000 plus investors. And we, you know, teach them how to pretty much maximize their Airbnb and get into Airbnb and just being a part of a community that does that. We do a conference every year, 250 attendees. We speak about all sorts of topics. So I'm in the space on that regard. But in terms of property management, I have a property management company right now with 90 plus properties. And we've scaled that are live, but we have over 100 that are signed. We scaled from 5 of my own to 100 signed in under 1 year. And I was able to do that through acquisition of property management companies. So I've analyzed a lot of property management companies. I've taken a lot of advantage of the current market right now, which is, you know, I always believe that in tough times is the best opportunities. And so we're doubling down. The reason that we're able to scale and sign on so many clients is because we see a lot of the things of, is property management worth it? You know, there's a new era right now, and we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, Kenny, but there's a crazy new era right now of, you know, COVID was around and everyone started getting into it. And now, is it too competitive? Are property managers actually worth the price? I don't know, Kenny, what do you think?
yeah, for sure. So Patrick, I guess back up a little bit. Where are most of your properties that you manage? Are they in one market? Are they across multiple markets? Tell us the location.
Yeah, so they're all in Joshua Tree, California. I opted in for focusing on one market. We do have 4 cabins in Broken Bow, but that was an offshoot, which is Oklahoma. And that was an offshoot because one of our clients had 4 cabins he needed help with, and we decided to help him out, but primarily in Joshua Tree.
So why just Joshua Tree?
Joshua Tree is a vacation rental market. It is a drive-to destination within hours of a lot of California cities, Orange County, you know, LA, San Diego, and it's an up-and-coming area as well. There's a lot of growth potential. So we invested in it first and then saw the opportunity to manage.
Why not other markets? Like, are you looking, I guess you know, Broken Bow, but like, are you looking in other markets to acquire and do?
Maybe possibly down the line, but currently we found that there's a lot of economies of scale. When you are operating within one market, you become way better and more acquainted with the nuances of, for instance, pricing or, you know, getting the right people. And so our efforts are always multiplied every time we make any kind of relationship in that market, as opposed to being in too many markets at once. And that's just our philosophy.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So let's dive into that a little bit. So economies to scale and pricing and all that. So, I mean, how does that stuff work with 100 properties in one market? Like, how do you figure all that out?
Yeah, well, we kind of build the plane as we're, jumping out of it. Yeah, as
we're jumping out of it.
jumping out of another plane. But, you know, we're getting kicked to the curb and we have to build another one. But either way, I think a lot of it's trial and error. There's always going to be room for improvement. And I feel like we always, you know, find more effective ways to do it. The cool thing is we buy management companies. So we have 2 different brands. So they run very differently. One is a lot more high touch point and has luxury properties, and one is a little bit more lean and has less luxury properties. And so we get to test out different models of what works and what doesn't, which is really cool. But one thing that we've really realized is investing a lot of money into operations, and we hired a COO, and she's very organized, and her day-to-day is literally manage the day-to-day. And not only manage the day-to-day, but create systems and operations at scale to allow us to operate effectively and to maintain quality control.
Gotcha. So
that's, yeah.
No, that's awesome. So from a performance standpoint, obviously, you know, it depends on the property and, you know, there's 100 of them, but overall, like, how do your properties perform?
Our properties are performing a lot better than market. Joshua Tree, for the people that don't know, Joshua Tree is one of the most competitive markets in the country. It's what we like to call it is the NBA. We're in the NBA, right? Everyone else is playing college ball. We're over here, you know, going up against LeBron James, like, you know, top architect in the world, like building this incredible property. And you know, we have to compete with that. And so, you know, just doing design is the bare minimum. And so, you know, being in a market like that is not for everybody, of course, but the people that do it right and invest right do make good returns. And we do see that with our own properties. And, you know, we have one property right now. I have 100% cash on cash deal I just did. So in the recent markets, not during COVID. So I still think there's a lot of opportunities. But like I said, the management does play a big role in it. And we see that, you know, even taking on management from other places, like if they're self-managing or another manager, we can do a lot better than them in a lot of cases. But I have some theories on that.
Tell us. I have some theories. I was like,
I don't know where you're going with this, Kenny. So yeah. I was like, I don't know. Should I share the secret with everybody? I don't know. This is a lot more competition for me.
I want to know the secret. Well, most people listening, Patrick, most people listening are hosts that like self-manage.
No, I know. Right? I'm joking.
But the reality though is, and this is what I talked about in the part one, and I told you this before we started the show recording, is that there's a lot of people out there who actually really shouldn't be in the space managing. And especially some of these, you know, hosts who don't want to do pricing optimization. They don't want to add or enhance their property in certain ways. And so, you know, for you, when you look at the playing field, obviously it's very competitive, Joshua Tree. I know exactly what you're talking about there. Yeah. But how did you kind of figure out the market over time? Like what was it that worked for you that made it click so you could have properties that excelled?
I think it's a nuance, right? I think, cause I think about this a lot myself. Why do we do better than a lot of other people? I believe the competition breeds performance, right? The more competition there is, I'm a competitive person myself. So, you know, going into that market and putting up a product and building a product, my first house I ever done out there.
Yeah.
It was a remodel, it was beautiful, and it would have crushed it in any other market. But guess what? Like, it's not enough in Joshua Tree. And realizing that I have to be better than everybody else. I have to be better at pricing. I have to be better at listings. I have to do things that people don't do. And, you know, I have to test things out that people have not, like, there's no use cases for it anywhere. So I have to take inspiration from other industries and feel like, oh, for example, lifestyle images, for instance. The previous owner of the management company I recently bought, they were the best when it comes to building brand around properties, right? Logos, beautiful photos, and lifestyle photos. Mm-hmm. They were doing lifestyle photos 5-10 years ago before like anybody else was doing it. And so I think he actually pioneered lifestyle photos, which is, you know, he came from the film industry and he knew that this was something that was really valuable and that people really wanted to see the space being utilized in an effective way. And so that's an example of potentially having a, you know, like going above and beyond and building the brand and not just for professional photography is not enough. It's like, what did the professional photographer do? What kind of angles did they do? What kind of angles did you ask them to do, right? Like, it's like the whole thing, building the launch process, launching it, getting the pricing right. What's your pricing strategy look like? Are you looking at pacing reports? Are you, you know, like going above and beyond? What's your ranking on the Airbnb algorithm, right? Are you looking at that? And so going above and beyond is what really allows us to compete in this market, to be honest. And that requires a lot of time and effort. I have to learn every single day to become better. And that's why, going back to what you said in the beginning, where some people maybe are not fit for this is because you have to make a commitment. And what's interesting, Kenny, is we're in a very interesting space because I'm a property manager, but I also teach self-managers to self-manage. And so I see both sides. And so I'm not, you know, I understand when people self-manage and want to save that 25% or whatever it is. But then I also see that those people could be missing out if, one, they have a alternative source of income that produces higher results for the hours worked. Two, they value peace of mind not being on call all the time, because with one or two properties, it's hard to have a team to be able to not be on call and to have that peace of mind. And so I think that's another case. And then the third thing is, like, do you have the time and energy to compete with the best? You know, I'm going to be focused on this day to day because this is my only thing I'm doing. So if you're a lawyer and you're working 60 hours as a lawyer, how good can you be to you know, really focus on your property to make it? Are you going to focus 10 hours a week for your one property? It might not even be worth it at that point, but maybe the investment into the knowledge is worth it. And in that case, it makes sense, right? There's some people that are really hands-on. They really want to control over their experience in their property. I understand that. But when you want to get into a place like, I don't know, you want to get to take things to the next level, then you got to stay on top and stay relevant. Listen to podcasts like this, right? So,
yeah. I love what you said earlier about trial and error, right? Like, you've tested theories and things to help improve. And so somebody coming in with one property, you know, they're going to have a harder time competing with you, especially if it's their first one or even their second one in the same market, because even though they have like this, they could add more of a personal touch to the property, there's other elements that are layered on besides just, you know, that one-on-one touch that self owners or self managers, I should say, can do. So, you know, like you said, revenue management, marketing, branding, design and decor, knowing the amenities to add, knowing all these things. I one time I saw you comment on like somebody's Facebook post about, you know, they were looking at buying, I think it might've been in Yucca Valley or in like kind of like in the area where there's like a lot of, you know, houses next to each other.
Neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. Neighborhood. One of the neighborhoods there.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that's not going to work. You know, you're like, you need land, you need space, you need this, this, and that. It's like, that's the kind of stuff that a lot of the data you'd have to really, really study to figure that out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
100%. And unless you have experience, it's going to be challenging, you know? And so I think a lot of people who are going into this, I like what you said, you got to commit to it. You got to want to do it. And that's where the returns are at. And so for people listening here, I'm not, you know, I said this on the last episode, and you said just the same thing I said, Patrick, we're not advocating that everyone go to a property manager. We're advocating that you learn and commit to learning the things that you need to increase the revenue of these properties, especially if you're going to be in some of these very competitive markets, you know,
100%.
It's a business, right?
100%. It is a business. And look, in some, I talk to some couples and it makes sense, right? Let's say, you know, one of the spouses is taking care of the kids, right? And they're at home and they're looking for some alternative thing to do. And this is like their passion project. And that makes more sense. Like, okay, well, maybe you have the time on top of taking care of the kids to commit to this, you know, or you have a W-2 job that's less demanding and it's really not that hard, you know, but if you're working like as an attorney and you're working 80 hours a week and I mean, you're fried. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to compete with me. I'm just saying that, like, true in fact, you will take over a lot of the basic managers, like a Vacasa. Like, you'll definitely do better than a Vacasa, but to be better than a boutique manager that truly does.
Let me cut you off here for a second because
go for it.
Is Vacasa true property management?
Okay, you want to know an interesting fact? Yeah, I'm gonna give this to you. Okay, what do you think is the number one property manager in the United States?
That, like, in performance or number of
properties? In terms of number of properties.
I mean, Vacasa or Evolve or
Vacasa.
Vacasa. Okay.
Okay. They have 40,000 units. How many do you think out of the total units out there they control or they manage?
Out of their
units? Total vacation rental units in the United States.
No idea.
2.67%.
Wow.
So okay. The number one, so there's 1.5 million vacation rental units. And that was, look, these statistics are, you might be a little outdated, maybe, I don't know. But the idea is, somebody's going to quote me, be like, this is fake news. But the idea is they own a small, they manage a small percentage of a big market, which means it's a market that has a, there's not a lot of, there's no monopoly. It's a very segmented market. It's a very, like, there's so many property managers is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And there's so much opportunity. And so these big brands are trying to figure out how to, because we're very early on in this world of property management, and they're trying to figure out how to do this at scale at a national level. And that's an ongoing topic of conversation right now. It's not like anybody has really solved it, but we do see a lot of boutique property managers. And so
I guess, let me ask you though, like, yeah, okay, great. People aren't, they've obviously failed at solving it. Hmm. Why? What are your theories as to why they haven't solved it? And I'll give you mine.
Yeah, I believe, and this is a theory, is that they don't have the correct localized experience and the localized control to allow that to come to fruition at a national level. Because when you become national, you forget the nuances of the market. And I see that all the time with my, at least my market. Vacasa does not exist in our market. Mm-hmm. Vance does not exist in our market. The reason they don't is, and they do maybe for some smaller properties, but the reason boutique managers operate and destroy in this market is because it's so nuanced and they have the localized expertise and the people, right? So like me going out there, I meet all of the best people every time, and maybe they need to hire somebody like me to manage their portfolio, but I don't know if I'd work for them. So, you know, like, so yeah, that's kind of my theory. What's your theory?
I think that property, like large property, you know, mailbox, I call them mailbox property managers, struggle in these markets, you know, like at scale, is because they don't have that personalized touch for each property. And I look at short-term rentals, even evaluating short-term rentals can be extremely subjective. You know, I always preach, like, you always evaluate on a range. You never say a set number, because the reality is you're never going to hit that number. You know, it's either going to be above it or below it. So that's because it's never concrete, and there's finding the right property and running the property correctly to hit those numbers. And so you can't take a templated plug and play system that will work for every single property. Now, sure, certain elements, like, you know, using a certain property management software to automate guest messaging and having your team do this, this, and this, but the teams change. The design, like, you can't say the design that I use in this market is going to work in this market. The amenities that worked in this market are going to work in this, like, this whole process. And so I think one of the other elements too is that they rely on whatever the owner gives them. So if the owner tells them, hey, look, I'm not going to update my property, Vacasa doesn't care. Vacasa's not like, yeah, you need to update your property and you need to do this. They're not trying to compete, like you said earlier. And so it's honestly not treated like a business. It's treated like an automated package. And hospitality cannot be 100% automated. It can scale. Hotels can have scale, and they've proven this. But hospitality in the localized markets, like some of the points you were saying, cannot be just templated. Boop, boop, everything's the same. Everything's plug and play. It is not. It has to adapt per each market. And so, like, ideally, they should be hiring micro people. I hope they're listening to this. Like, if you, yeah, you're like, wow, Patrick's great at Joshua Tree. We need to hire him, or we need to pay him to consult on Joshua Tree. But yes, that is it. We're not going to have Patrick come consult on Lake Tahoe or all these other markets, because he doesn't know those markets. Boom. He doesn't know those people or have those resources.
I agree. And that's exactly the reason why I don't take properties in other markets, is because, like, even Broken Bow, we're doing really well because I'm really good. We're really good at pricing, really good at listing optimization. So we got that going, but we just don't have as much of a leg up as a local that would be up there. And we're doing okay. We're doing better than competition, but not like Joshua Tree.
But there's a learning curve.
It's a learning curve. And I know that. And so, like, also, I agree 100% with what you just said. actually trying to put to words that, and I think you put it into words better than I would, because I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, yeah, like Vacasa would just like, it's like a cookie cutter solution across the board. Like that's right. Kind of what you're getting at. What's interesting, one company that's doing it pretty well, I've been talking about it, is Casago. I actually really like their model. At least I like it from the perspective that they do their franchise model, and they basically will come up to a property manager in that specific market that knows that market. It's already dominating with their own brand, and they'll just empower them with more tools and more like back-end systems. I like that idea of a model, and I think they've been doing pretty well. I might be wrong. I haven't looked at their financials or private company, but I do like that aspect. Now, what's
the story real quick?
Go on.
You're never going to hear this episode, so it doesn't matter. But one of their people reached out to me, and he was like, hey, his email is just kind of like oozing with a little bit of like pride of, hey, I work for this company. And he's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I was sure we can set up a call and talk. And he just wanted to see like how we could like possibly integrate or, you know, do some, how our tool or what we do to help people find properties and all that. Cause you know, they have people call them, look, hey, I want to use you guys, but I don't have a property yet. So anyway, I got on a call with him and he's like telling me about his company. And I was like, I've never heard of you guys. And he was like, you never heard of us? And he was kind of offended. And I was like, nope. I'm like, nope. I don't really associate with property managers. He was like, really like, he's like, well, we have thousands of properties. And I was like, cool. Good for you. But he's a nice guy. Like it was all good, but it was funny what he kind of did. I kind of did it a little bit on purpose though to get his reaction.
Because
he was all like, he's telling me all the accomplishments and stuff. And I'm like, okay, like why are we meeting? Yep. Like what's the point?
I honestly, but here's the thing, going back to that whole like vacation rentals. People are like, well, screw Vacasa, right? That's the whole narrative that we have as an industry. I do think, guys, that, and this changed my mind recently when I talked to on my podcast with Jacoby. He's, you know, a broker for short-term rental property management companies. And he gave me the perspective that really you guys shouldn't be saying screw Vacasa. And the fail of Vacasa is actually a bad thing for the industry. Vacasa and Saunders are the two companies, there might be more, I might be missing, but they're two companies that people outside of the industry monitor as a indication of how good the industry is to enter. So if Vacasa fails in the minds of the best company in the outside, it's the best company, they're public, they have all their numbers are on board, to investors outside like hedge fund managers, whatever, short-term rentals is a dying industry. That's the narrative. Because Vacasa is failing. So that is like one thing that really shocked me, because I'm always about like, let's say Vacasa's clients, screw them. They just do a disservice to us. But actually from an external perspective, you don't want Vacasa to fail, which is kind of sad, but I don't know what the future of this industry is going to hold. Do you think somebody's going to really step in and prove that property management can happen at a national scale?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I think first off, people need to, and there's probably like Casagio or these other property, I'm sure somebody's like kind of getting to that point. But the reality though is somebody has to realize, like everybody has to realize that this is a business, very much a business. Okay. And I'm not just saying for property managers, but hosts as well. And if it's a business, we can look at similar industries like the hotel industry as a guide and example of ways that they've taken hotels. Sure, it's not the same exact thing, but it's hospitality. And they've scaled that nationally, internationally, you know, by doing certain things. And if you look at what they're doing, Marriott Homes. Oh boy, what's the other one I'm thinking of? I know Marriott. Hyatt, yep. They're actually you know about this, right? Like the luxury space, like they're becoming property managers of luxury homes across the world. When I worked for Citibank, tracking this like 5 or 6 years, I remember when they first got started, they said, start tracking this. We started tracking and they had like 100 homes or something they were doing. And then they grew to like 2,000. I think it's like 30 or 40,000 now, but they are slowly scaling this and no one's talking about it because they're a hotel brand. They're doing it across, they're doing it around the world. So like, what are they doing that we're missing that we're not talking about in our industry? That's another problem too. I think that a lot of hosts look to what other hosts in the market are doing, not what other industries are doing to provide
mature industries.
Exactly. Mature industries, especially hotels
within our industry, big industry, like hospitality. They're within hospitality.
Exactly.
Which is just,
we can learn stuff from restaurants. We can learn stuff from other service providers, but especially hotels. Hotels have had to change and adapt. I've seen it. I can't tell you like how many hotels I've gone into now. Like, it's like oddly renovated. Like they have like a really weird theme going on. You know, I'm not going to pick on some of the ones I've seen, but like, they're all, I'm like, really like this, you know? And I'm like, that's interesting. But they've chosen a route instead of going like more generic, you know? And then they're offering certain amenities and things that you don't necessarily see with short-term rentals, because they're trying to, they're essentially competing with us because we've taken some of their market share. Short-term rentals aren't going to go away. They've been around forever, you know, 1790 to be exact. And so that was the first vacation market established, Portland, Maine.
I had no idea.
Yeah, there you go. So, but the reality though is the industry, we're just like, it's still in its infancy in terms of being established and seeing as an established market, but we have these shining lights, these beacons of people who are able to do it. And we should be studying them instead of like just focus in our own world. Cause I do feel like we have blinders on. So anyway, what are your thoughts on that?
That was a huge in-depth thing. I will say that I just met up with a operator. She's a CEO of my competition in my market. And, you know, and we just met up and we've been in good contact for a while. She comes from a hotel industry.
Okay.
And she's, you know, bringing the same concepts from the hotel industry to how she's operating in the short-term rental industry. And she's talked a lot about how there's discrepancy with how, you know, short-term rentals are ran versus how hotels are ran. And, you know, I think that she alluded to the fact that there's a lot for us to learn from that. But my question is, there's a lot of differences too, right? You know, with the sheer fact of amenities and you know, the fact that they're not all together in one area. And it's just an interesting, I don't know. I feel like I should be studying hotels more and seeing how they scale at and maintain quality control, because.
Well, when you think about it too, I mean, they have everything in house.
Yeah.
They have their staff full time. You know, it's not segmented. It's not like, oh, the cleaner's part-time and she's got to go work, you know, at the diner the other part, you know, like assuming that she gets paid a decent amount. But like, you know what I mean? Like they can, because they have so many units that they're managing. And so it becomes a question of like, okay, is it a number of units or is it the size of the property and what work can be provided, you know? And anyway, there's all those like things that can come about. I'm sure we could like just sit here and like brainstorm. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing to look at, or to watch the growth of specifically the short-term rental industry, because I personally think the mundane hotel experience is going away.
Oh, absolutely.
It just, you know, I know people call them, I love when people call them boutique hotels. I'm like, they're just modernized motels. They're nice. That's why they're modernized, but they're just modernized motels. You took a motel that was crappy from like the 80s and then you took it into this century.
It's the same thing.
Just with some paint on the walls. Like,
Just looks like a pig. Yeah,
exactly. They're also, I mean, even with boutique hotels, like I'm not making fun of the investment strategy or anything. I just think it's funny that it's called that, but it's now this like kind of sexy term, but the amenities added are a little bit different. It's like kind of stepped up. And
more like a resort or like
you're seeing more resort style. People want more amenities. They've also become more affordable to acquire, you know, in terms of amenities and types of amenities you can get. And I mean, I remember last year I met this guy, reached out to me. He's like, hey, I sell some barrel saunas in the Northeast. And I was like, why? You know, he's like, oh, like he was like showing me all the designs and stuff. And lo and behold, they start appearing everywhere, you know, and you're like, and they're easy to get now. You can finance them. They got people do it. And it's like, we evolve, the technology evolves, and short-term rentals evolve too. And I think that part of this, like understanding property management and how we improve as self-host, is just staying on top of it.
Yeah. If that's okay, I want to kind of divert a little bit here.
Go ahead.
You know, you were talking about staying up to date, keeping up with the Jones. When does it end? You know, there's a lot of people that are like, well, I bought this investment. Great. I make these investments into amenities. And then all of a sudden, like they're out of style after 3 years. Do I have to do this every 3 to 5 years? Like, is this what my life is going to be? You know? And so that's a big conversation that people say. The way that I answer that a lot of times is you're taking, there's a lot of tax advantages to that. You're adding value to the property. Your property, I mean, especially if the area is becoming more and more unpopular and there's just that much more supply, I'm assuming the demand's going up. So, you know, you're in a growing market and that's a good thing. And you're adding value to your property and down the line, you can sell that value. And so it's not going to go to waste in my opinion. And there's also tax advantages to that, like taking write-offs. So I don't think it's that bad of a thing.
Well, it goes to like, you do have to add amenities. You do have to find and finding deals. Like when I sit down with people and we look at a property, I go, the first thing I do is I'm like, okay, what does it have to offer? You know, what's it look like? But the second biggest thing I look for is potential. I always talk about building the moat, separating yourself from everybody else. But how do you do that? And do you have to do that all up front?
Yeah.
You can make it awesome, but then you got to expect to have to improve that property or sell that property.
I think people don't realize that. I think people get into this
and they think, right?
Yeah, like a short-term rental. They'll buy a short-term rental and they'll be like, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to make money today. And it's like, well, what about, you know, building separation so that, you know, you stay competitive. I'll give you an example of that. I was actually in Joshua Tree this last weekend and the first Lazy River house came out in Joshua Tree and they put on a party.
Do you know what's their names? Who owns it? Do you know?
It's Diana and a Cannon. I know they're locals in the market. I know them. Like we went to their summer bash party.
Yeah. I met them and I think they went to the Nashville car. Yeah. They told me about the Lazy River. Yeah. Oh. They do those around. Yeah. It's insane.
Sweet. they went above and beyond though. They didn't just go like, oh, let me just make a circle. Yeah. No, they went, let's make it as hard as freaking possible for anybody to copy us. They put a freaking like bridge over it and they made it beautiful. And like, they put like a slide and like this whole thing. And there's like a waterfall. And like, they really went all out to the point where somebody to replicate that same thing, it was like thousands of dollars just in chemicals just to get it up and running. But they make $1,500. Like I see their calendar. So they make like $1,500 a night and they're booked solid. And I told them, I was like, you're underpriced.
you know?
But regardless of the fact, like what the point of this story is, they knew that when they were building this, they needed to have one unique feature that nobody else had. And they knew that the copycats would come around. So they had to make it so good to future proof it. And I thought that was really genius and really smart. Because people would reach out to me and say, are you at a commercial like water park? I'm like, no, I'm literally at a residential home.
Yeah.
It's a water park in the backyard. But that's the cool thing. But here's another thing that I wanted to also ask you because I'm curious. When it comes to data, and let's go back to even the conversation of property management actually worth it. People ask me like, well, I looked at AirDNA and this is the data I'm getting. And Joshua Tree is not an investable market. Or, oh, this property makes X amount of money. And then I look at the property, the actual data, and I'm like, that is way off. That property did not make $200,000. I have that property and it made $150,000. You know, it's like, but then I'm realizing that people are making decisions based on that data. How do you, being in the world of data, right? How do you advise people go about that if they're looking to self-manage and go with themselves? You know, how do you know which amenities to add and which not to add from a data perspective?
Wow. Okay. Lots of little questions there. Yeah. There's a lot of topics and we do separate episodes. So let's say the acquisition standpoint, we'll answer that one first. So the number one thing I've learned is that you can't rely on one or two data points. You can't. Okay. Here's the thing. Even if you had the actual numbers of those properties, can a new person coming to the market assume that even with your numbers that they could get the same amount?
No, you can never assume.
Exactly. So yes. If that's the case, then it doesn't matter if, oh, this one's off, that's off. It's kind of all subjective.
It's like vicinity, right? As long as it's within the vicinity of what it would make.
Right, vicinity. Yeah. But even then, you have to look at multiple data points. Mm. I tell people all the time, one, two, or three data points isn't going to cut it in today's market. You have to be looking at a range of revenue. And in the markets, what you'll find is if you pull a data set and you put in a spreadsheet and you sort by revenue of that particular bedroom count, you know, it'll be like, it'll range, let's say four bedrooms will range from like, you know, 50,000 to 150,000. Okay. Well, all in between, you have all these properties, but what you're going to see is what I call clustering or tiers, meaning that they're groupings of properties. Okay. We're in the data, in the spreadsheet. Groupings that'll go like, you know, incrementally like 55, 56, 57, 57, 57, 58, and then it'll jump up to like 65, and then there'll be another grouping and then another grouping. And what you'll find is that each grouping is unique. Each grouping has a difference between each one. And that explains what drives revenue in that particular market.
That makes sense.
So by doing this, it allows you to gather more data points and create that vicinity instead of just like, I relied on this one and I didn't get that revenue, or I exceeded that revenue, or whatever. I hear all different kinds of stories. So that's why I tell people that most people evaluate incorrectly.
Interesting.
They just evaluate it like it was like a real estate appraisal company. You know, this is a
Got it.
This is what realtors have taught, right? Yeah. For many, many years.
Yes.
The market has shifted. It's changed. Mm. We don't look at comps like, oh, one property, this is its revenue, therefore I should make that revenue, because that's not how short terminals work.
Do you think it's because there's nuances to each property? Like even like, dude, I'll be honest, like I drove down to one of the new properties that we're launching and I saw, like we were going on the same street. We saw the street that we were on, where the property was on the left side. And I knew that that property could only make like 60 or 70,000 or whatever. And then the other side, I saw a beautiful view and I was like, that same street, different side, that property can make 120. And I'm like, that is crazy, because owners will come to me and say, well, there's a house right down the street, you know, maybe with a beautiful view, a different, you know, just across the street that could be doing way better. There's so many nuances, man. And also, I've also seen people that were self-managers that are like, dude, I bought this property, I looked at all the numbers, and it supports the fact that this property should be making $120,000. I'm so shocked because I don't understand why my property is not making that much. And then I go in and I'm like, your pricing's off.
Your pricing sucks. Yeah. Your
pricing sucks. And so it's like, it's a management issue. I don't think people realize that management can make such a drastic difference. I'll give you some data points. I had this one, I have multiple clients where this has happened. I have one client that was made $10,000 across 6 months. Okay. And we were going into a stronger month for sure, but just on adding one amenity, so a checkmark amenity, because it wasn't getting seen, low impressions. We saw that in the data. And also we added better photos. We got our photographer in there, got the right angles, got everything branded correctly. We spent about like a month, like 2 weeks to a month to get it to really dial in. And then we built our pricing strategy around it and relaunched the property. But it was already launched, but like redid it. Mm. And we did 10,000 that month.
Wow.
And that's through launch period. And we saw like a $12,000 to $14,000 month. And we did what they did in 6 months in 1 month.
Wow.
And that is the difference between, and it was the same product. The only thing we added was a hot tub. And so when I talk to owners, I tell them there's three levers we can really pull from a property management standpoint. There's three levers we can pull. One is going to be the product or the home, right? Mm-hmm. If you deliver me a shitty product, I'm not going to be able to fucking market it. Like it's plain and simple. And it could be so nuanced, man. Like we would come into a property and they'd be like, well, I did all the right things. I got a pickleball court. I got a hot tub. I got all the right things, but people aren't booking. And I'm like, yeah, because your fucking hot tub's over there. Like, and then your pickleball court's over there. So you have to picture it individually. And like, you can't really get it all in. And like, it's just bad angles. And it's like, but they don't understand it. Like, they don't see that. And it's like, if I built this, if I could just do this, like I would put the pickleball court right next to the house with the beautiful view with the mountains. I'm like, that is number one photo. Boom. Like, that's how it has to be. And that photo is going to sell the place. it's so nuanced, because even putting the amenity in the wrong place for us, we do less. We do like, we launch properties. We're like, why is this property not doing as well? Like, it's also like, we have another property in our portfolio that's doing just as good. It's like, it could be the photo. It could be the way it's positioned, the way it looks. Like, maybe the pool's way too far away from the house and like, we can't capture it correctly in a really nice way. And so many different things where, like, keep in mind, people on Airbnb, because 90 to 95% of the bookings in our market come from Airbnb. Like, there's the other platforms aren't really that strong. And so, you know, we get like a millisecond to get capture people's attention. And so that first photo is job is literally to capture people's attention. And the second, third, fourth is to maintain curiosity and create that curiosity loop, right? Like, open mind, like, oh, what else does this property have that can satisfy or make me a lot more interested to stay there? So I'm thinking, like, when I build a profile, and I'm going a little detailed, but like, when I build a profile, I think about the whole brand. I'm like, the story, right? Like, because what happens is they're going to click this is going to be the first photo. They're going to swipe to next, third, fourth, fifth, and they're going to swipe until 30. So my first 30 photos, more specifically my first 15, have to be dialed in, and it has to tell a story. It has to tell people like what the heck they're going to do at that place. That's a whole thing, man. And if people don't understand that, if people don't do that, then they're not going to launch as successful as the property. And then they're going to blame it on Airbnb market, and they're going to blame it on the collapse. They're going to blame it on all this stuff instead of educating themselves and learning like why the way that it is. And another big mistake that people do is like they overprice, which is what happened with the property we took over that made $10,000 that month, is because we decided to drop rates during the weekdays and then raise rates weekends and drive the three night minimum on the weekends. And then boom, you all of a sudden have people clocking in those three nights on the weekends with the high rates. You got the lower weekdays to drive the visibility and allow your property to be seen. And it's like, and you're filling in the gaps, and it just works out really well. But people don't think like that. You know, it's like you have to be educated.
Right. Hacking the algorithm. I love it.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, let's wind things down. We had a really good discussion. Lots of good nuggets. I appreciate you being on here, Patrick. A couple things, though. You mentioned your event coming up. I know it's coming up in July. Tell us about the STR Nation event, where it is, when, how can people learn about it?
Cool. Not sure when this is going to drop, but the event is going to be July 8th to the 9th. And, you know, we'd love to have you guys there. You guys can go to str-nation.com. If you guys want to get a discount, use promo 100. There you guys go. You guys have that code. It's $100 off. It's going to allow you to make, you know, to get a little bit of a discount for the followers. And, you know, we'd love to have you guys there. It's a great event with a lot of education. San Diego, California, beautiful. VIP is amazing. If you want to go on the yacht, we'd love to have you on there. And so, yeah, that's the full experience.
Cool. That's awesome, man. And then what's the best way for people to get in contact with you? Is it your Instagram at Patrick_Swinetech?
Yeah, it's at Patrick_Swinetech. I have it like down here, I think, if you're watching the video version. But yeah, happy to connect. If you have any questions, happy to answer them. Even if you're not looking to be a property management client, happy just to literally talk to you about how to optimize your property, whatever the question may be.
And you're very passionate. I love it. Passionate about it. So last thing I like to do, wrap things up. Patrick, one piece of advice to help people cash flow positive.
One piece of advice is, dang, that's a good one. Just one. I think study competition, rates, listings, everything, and copy. The best artists steal, and Picasso did that. And I think, you know, do what works and don't try to reinvent the wheel, I think is the best piece of advice for people that are maybe struggling a little bit.
I love that. Yeah. Seriously, don't reinvent the wheel. I don't know why people do that. So I love it. Cool, man. Well, thank you, Patrick, for being on here and sharing your insights. And thanks, everybody, for listening. I will see you on the next episode.